Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll begin our study of the Book of Ruth, as Pastor Chuck Smith begins with an introduction to our two main characters, Naomi and Ruth.
We've just finished the book of Judges, and in the last five chapters of the book of Judges, we've had a couple of insights to the conditions of the nation of Israel during the time in which the judges ruled. The one insight was concerning a priest that had come from Bethlehem, Judah, and was hired out to the house of Micah. And he ripped off from Micah some of the artifacts of worship that Micah had in his house. And he went with the men of Dan to be their priest as they established the city of Dan in the northern part of the country. Religiously, a confusing incident. I mean, that a priest should be guilty of ripping off his friend of the various artifacts and so forth is unconscionable. The next incident that is recorded, and the last one recorded in the book of Judges, is that tough incident where a priest from Mount Ephraim went down to Bethlehem, Judah, to retrieve his concubine who had committed whoredom and had left him, to entice her to come back home to him. And how that as they stayed at the city of Gibeah, a Benjamite city, the men of the city, as the men of Sodom, came and beat at the door and wanted the host to release this priest in order that they might have homosexual relationships with him. How that instead they sent the concubine out, who the men raped all night and who was lying at the doorstep dead in the morning. And the civil war that took place between the tribes of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. During the time of the judges, it was a time of moral decay, as is evidenced by the stories. It was a time of religious confusion, and it was marked by the fact, you remember, and at that time there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Period of anarchy. In this black background, God was at work. God was preparing a family through which the Messiah would come. And God oftentimes works when we cannot see his work. When we look around and we see the moral decay, we see the corrupted conditions, it seems that God has forsaken man, and yet God is at work, and God was working. So the book of Ruth chronologically fits back in the time of the judges, because it is not only giving us things that were happening during the time of the judges to show that God was at work, but also it is an introduction to the book of Samuel, for it will bring to us the introduction of David, who became the great king of Israel, who was crowned in the book of Samuel as the king over Israel. So it's sort of a bridge between the book of Judges and the book of Samuel. However, it does not appear in that place in the Hebrew Bible. In the Hebrew Bible, there are five books known as the Megillah, and they are read at the feast times. And they are in a section by themselves. One is the book of Esther, one is the book of Lamentations, another one is the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth was traditionally read at the Feast of Pentecost. And probably, in a sense, that would be very fitting, because the Feast of Pentecost does celebrate the gathering in of the harvest. At the time of the grain harvest, it really celebrates the harvest being gathered in, and Ruth has to do with the time of the grain harvest. And so the book is traditionally read among the Jews at the time of Pentecost. So it came to pass in those days when the judges were ruling, when there was moral corruption, when there was confusion in the land of Israel from a religious standpoint, that there was a famine in the land. God oftentimes used famine to wake people up to their moral decay. The Lord said, when my judgments are in the land, it will cause my people to turn to righteousness. And God often used famines to get the attention of the people. There was a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. Beth is house and Lehem is bread. Judah is praise. So the house of bread and praise. Who went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, which means my God is king. That would be quite a name. His name was a witness. My God is king. And his wife's name was pleasant. Naomi. The name of his two sons were Malom, which means sick, and Chilion, which means pining. Again, children were often named after the circumstances of their birth. When Jacob and Esau were born, they were twins. Their mother was having a rough pregnancy. And she prayed unto the Lord and said, Lord, what's going on? This is rough. And the Lord said, there are two nations in your womb. They're diverse from each other and they're fighting with each other. And when they were born, the first one to be born was covered with hair. And he was reddish in color, but he was so hairy, they called him Hairy, Esau. And that means hairy in Hebrew. When the twin brother was born, he reached out, continuing the fight, and grabbed Hairy's heel. And they said, look at that heel catcher. And so he picked up the name Yaakov, heel catcher. And so they often name their children by the circumstances of birth. And when my God is king and Pleasant had their first child, he probably didn't look very well and said, oh, he looks sick. And so he picked up the name Malon, sick. When the second child was born, he looked like he was ready to die. So he picked up the name Pining. They moved to Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. So he probably wasn't too well himself. And she was left with her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, which means a fawn. And the name of the other was Ruth, which means beauty. And they dwelt there in Moab for about 10 years. Now, sickly and pining died. Both of them, and the woman, Naomi, was left of her two sons and her husband. So she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard there that the famine was over in Bethlehem. The Lord had visited his people, given them bread. So she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go and return each to your mother's house, and may the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you might find rest, each of you, in the house of your husbands. And then she kissed them and lifted up their voices and wept. So here was a thing where Naomi was saying to the girls, look, girls, you don't need to feel responsible for me. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. And you girls should go back to your own mother's homes. And I pray that God will be gracious to you, even as you've been gracious to me and to my sons, your husbands. And I pray that God will give you husbands and, you know, you might have children and have a nice family life. But, you know, don't feel obligated to go with me or to take care of me. There was evidently a very close relationship between Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. And they wept together, and they said unto her, surely we will return with you unto your people. And Naomi said, no, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet two more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I would say that I had hope, and if I should have a husband, and even tonight I would bear sons, would you wait for them to grow up to marry them? Would you wait from having husbands? No, my daughters, it grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Now, going back to the book of Genesis, Jacob's son Judah had a son who married a young girl named Tamar. And this son died before Tamar had any children. So the next son in line, Onan, took her as his wife, but he was reluctant to do so. He didn't want to do so. And so he refused to have a son or to allow conception to take place. And thus God killed him because he would not raise up a son for his dead brother. Now Judah had one other son, but having two sons already wiped out by this gal Tamar, he wasn't willing yet to give the other son. He said, he's too young right now. Wait for him to grow up, and when he grows up, you know, then he can marry you. But as time went on, the son grew up, and Judah did not give that son to Tamar as a husband. And so you remember the story how that she dressed in the attire of a prostitute and went out and sat on the wayside, and Judah came by and struck up a proposition with her that he had sent a little goat to her and all. And so she said, well, how do I know you'll do that? And he says, well, I'll give you a pledge. And so she says, okay, I want the ring for a pledge. Guarantee you'll send the goat back. And so she took Judah's ring as a pledge. And Judah went unto her, and then he went his way, and he got to his men with the flocks, and he told the one guy, take a goat back to the prostitutes that's on that corner back there. And when he came back, she wasn't there, and the guy inquires, says, where's the prostitute? Usually hangs out in this corner. He says, there's no prostitute around here that we know of. Tamar had become pregnant by Judah, and word came to Judah. They said, hey, did you know that Tamar is pregnant? He said, that's terrible. She shall be put to death. So Tamar came to Judah, and she said, the man who owns this ring is the man who made me pregnant. He recognized the ring, and he said, you've been more honorable than I have in that, you know, I should have given you the son, I didn't. She had a son named Perez, born unto Judah of Tamar. That will figure into the end of the story of Ruth. Incidentally, just as a side note, that's where the custom of wedding rings comes from. It's a pledge. It's a guarantee. I made a promise, I made a vow, and this guarantees that I plan to keep the vow. Give me your ring as the guarantee, you know, that you're going to keep the vows. When a guy is, you know, all excited in love and passions are high, he'll make all kinds of promises. Get a ring, gals. The pledge whereby I know you'll keep these vows, these promises. So what Naomi is saying, hey, girls, I'm an old lady. No sense coming back with me. I can't have any more children. I mean, I don't plan to get married. And even if I did, even if I had a son right now, you wouldn't want to wait. You wouldn't want to, you know, rob the cradle, wait till he grew up and marry him. So you go back home and find husbands there, and and be happy. So they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, Naomi, but Ruth clave to her. And Naomi said, "Behold, your sister-in-law is gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." She's gone back to her home, her customs, and so forth. But Ruth said, "Do not entreat me to leave you or to return from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Ruth's making a spiritual commitment. She had come to trust in the God of Israel. No doubt through the witness of her husband and all, she had come to believe and trust in God. She did not want to go back to the gods of her people. She did not want to go back to her family. She wants to go with Naomi. "Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." So this glorious, beautiful commitment of Ruth, and it's one that is traditionally now just a beautiful expression of fidelity and of love. "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. And God forbid that anything but death should part us." Do you remember something else from the ceremony? "Until death do us part." And so when she saw that she was firm in her mind to go with her, she quit trying to argue with her. So the two of them came back to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, the house of bread, that all of the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi or pleasantness?" And she said unto them, "Don't call me pleasant, call me Mara," which means bitter. "For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why should you call me pleasant, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabiter, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, one thing I note here, and that is Naomi is blaming God for the problems that have befallen her. She's blaming God for the death of her husband and her sons. She talks about the hand of God against her and how God has dealt bitterly with her. It is an unfortunate thing that so often in the time of death we somehow seek to blame God, especially in untimely deaths. And Ruth was bitter. And it is possible for a person to become bitter against God at the time of death of one of their loved ones, especially a person's children. We somehow blame God for the tragedies. We forget that death came by sin. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed into all men, for all sinned. And in a primary sense, man is responsible for death, not God. Had man not sinned, then death would not be an issue. Death came as the result of sin. Not only death, but the sorrows and the miseries and the griefs. But so often we blame God because we reason that God could have averted, if he had so desired or was inclined to do so. Our reason for our attitude of death, being as it is our lack of understanding of the glory of the eternal and being there with God. Really, for a child of God, death is not some horrible monster, but it's a blessing.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the book of Ruth as we continue with the tragedy that confronted Naomi and Ruth. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Ruth. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord bless you and cause you to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May you increase in your understanding and knowledge of Him. May you be freed from that power of darkness, the corruption that is in the world through lust. May you grow up in Him in all things, being strengthened. And may you increase day by day in His richness, in His love, in His grace, in His word, in Jesus' name.
Hey, have you ever seen a person who was once a drug addict or an alcoholic and then all of a sudden they became a Christian and they're like a different person? They're responsible, they're happy, they're excited about life. They've been changed from the inside out. If you know someone who is struggling with sin, whether it be with drugs or alcohol, prescribed painkillers, an eating disorder, or a problem with gambling or pornography, I'd like to recommend ordering this year's One Step to Freedom Conference and DVD entitled Inside Out. Hear guest speakers Pancho Juarez, Jerry Brown, and myself, Tommy Cota, and see for yourself some extreme and amazing life-changing stories of people who have been changed from the inside out. To order this year's conference for a friend or a loved one, call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. Again, the number to call is 1-800-272-9673.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.